Real Life, the program that talks about the life of real estate in the Hamptons and the North Fork. The people, the places, and the things that are the pulse and heartbeat of life on the East End. And now, Associate Broker of Sotheby's International Realty, your host, John Christopher.
Welcome back to Real Life, and this is your host, John Christopher. And today I have with me Catherine Sly, who is with the East Hampton Aviation Association. Catherine, how are you tonight?
I'm pretty good tonight. Thanks so much for having me here.
It's a delight and a pleasure, actually, Catherine. Now, the East Hampton Aviation Association, who is that?
We are the local pilots group. We are at the East Hampton Airport. We are a nonpartisan, non-political group. Our main purpose is that we're dedicated to maintaining the viability of the East Hampton Airport and our community airport. We like to promulgate information that's accurate about the airport and act as the liaison about its benefits to our local community. And we also work very closely together with our local government and members of our community, as well as larger governmental organizations like the FAA, to be able to achieve reasonable mitigation for those who are noise affected by airport noise.
Just to go on the other side of the coin, there's so many people that are anti the helicopters, the jets. And it's kind of interesting because a lot of those people are the people that bought properties that are in the zone that's supposedly where the planes are flying or the helicopters are flying. So what do you say to those people? I mean, to me, I think it's a benefit because, one, it beats the traffic. And it's helping the community. I mean, there's so many good things that you guys are doing.
It's interesting. I'll start with the first part of your question, which is basically, what do we say to those who are actually noise affected? We do understand that there are, particularly helicopters are affecting certain people because there are certain helicopter routes. And those people who happen to live directly under those routes are experiencing more noise than perhaps others who are in other locations. That's one of our prime focuses that we're working with the town and local governments and big federal government operations to try and see if we can find other solutions to where those same people aren't inundated all the time by the same kind of helicopter traffic. You also brought up a point about there are people who purchased their land right next to the airport. And that is true, and that's one of those things that we try to deal with, and we try to work with those people to understand that, they did purchase their properties. But there are also those who live up on the North Fork who did not buy their property next to the airport and are also affected. And it's very important that we as the pilot community try to find solutions for them, which is something that we're very diligently working towards. And it's almost a daily thing that we are working on and trying to work with government, our local government and the FAA to come up with solutions for everybody. We want to keep our airport here. Our airport is a very critical asset to our community. It has a lot of benefits that a lot of people don't understand. One of the most basic ones is the property values. Everyone's property value is actually very tightly tied into the operation of the airport because our airport brings in over 100,000 passengers and summer visitors in every single year, particularly in the season time. Those people are the ones who are coming out here. They are buying property. They are renting properties for the summertime. They are going to our restaurants. They are going to our local businesses. They are spending their money here. In fact, a New York study determined that the airport itself directly brings in $15 to $20 million in revenue, direct revenues, to our community each
year. That's
amazing. And there's even a bigger number, is that NYU, the Rudin Center, did a study in 2013 that determined between both direct and indirect, the airport brings in $48 million in revenues to our community. $13 million of those are income, employee income alone to our community. So it's it's a very important asset to our community and something that we need to preserve and make sure it stays because it's something that without our airport, those who come in and buy property and rent property and go to restaurants and shop at businesses will go elsewhere.
Right.
We don't want to lose this. We're a resort community. We
right.
need to keep our airport open, available, but also neighborly. And that's kind of our primary goal.
Well, the big latest controversy was on the wells in the area that are around the airport because they were doing the fire training or...
That's correct. There was recently there was a determination that there are some PFOSs and PFOAs, which I'm not even going to try and say the chemical name of that. It's a very long word. But it was basically a type of contamination that has been tracked down to fire suppression foam.
Right.
And what happened is the local fire department, and it's not their fault, would do training, and we had happened to do training at the airport because they have a facility right on the south side of the airport that is dedicated to training. And then they would use various areas around the airport because there are large open fields that they could set a bus or a car or something on fire and conduct practices. And so they didn't know, and nobody knew that at the time, that they were using these firefighting foams, that they would happen to stay in the ground and then eventually get into the water. And so it's an unfortunate thing, and we're hoping that solutions can be found, that the government, I know, is working on that to try and come up with a way to remediate that. And I think the townspeople of Waynescott deserve to have water that is not contaminated.
Absolutely, absolutely. Now, you have a big event coming up this weekend called the Wings Over Haiti. Can you elaborate on that? What is happening? What is that?
Absolutely. The Wings Over Haiti Foundation is going to host the Hamptons Artists for Haiti benefit on June 22nd at the East Hampton Airport. It's going to be from 5:30 p.m. to 8:30 p.m. And the airport is on Daniels Hole Road. It's going to be at the East Hampton Airport. The Wings Over Haiti Foundation was founded by Jonathan Glenn, who is a local Sag Harbor artist, and he's also a local pilot. In 2010, he was flying from Sag Harbor to Florida when the earthquake in Haiti happened. And he sat around and thought to himself, what could he do to help? And so he actually began a series of flights, flying his private plane from Sag Harbor, from the East Hampton Airport, to Haiti, bringing medical supplies and much-needed medical items down to those who were trapped in Haiti after the earthquake. That got him started and involved with wanting to raise monies to start to build schools in more remote areas of Haiti. The first one they built, they raised money and built a school for 43 children in Croix-de-Bouquet, and it's a small town outside of Port-au-Prince. That school grew from originally 43 students to now over 200 students.
Amazing. That's fabulous.
It's not just a school. One of the things that they dedicate themselves to is they say that hungry children can't learn. So they don't just teach the kids. They help provide meals. They help provide medical care. And so the benefit this weekend on Saturday is to finish the construction of a second school in Ranquette. And this one is going to also start with 40 students. And the goal is eventually to build it up to a size where it will help up to 400 students.
How can somebody donate to this or get tickets to this event?
So again, the event is on Saturday night at the East Hampton Airport.
And what time is that taking place?
It's from 5:30 to 8:30 p.m. And you can buy tickets at wingsoverhaiti.net. They're $125, and that money goes directly to the foundation. Children under 12 are admitted free because we like to make this a family-friendly event. At the event, it's going to be spread over three airplane hangars, and the actual aircraft used by Jonathan is going to actually be on display, the ones
Wow.
he flew back and forth to Haiti.
Will there be music there?
There's going to be music. There's going to be food. There'll be a silent art auction with paintings and photographs and sculptures. And so it's going to be a very fun event. We invite everybody in the community to come out. It's a very worthy cause that we're trying to help out these kids down in Haiti.
Yeah, that is fabulous. So how can somebody, if they want to reach out to you, get some more information, probably join your organization, help donate, whatever the case may be, how can they get in contact with you?
The best way would probably be through our website. Our website is hamptonflyers.com. That's hamptonflyers.com.
What is that again?
Hamptonflyers.com. And on that website, that's actually our main website for our big Just Plain Fun Day event that we hold in September. This year it will be September 7th. And that's from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. where it's a big open house at the airport.
Great. I'm sorry to cut you short, but we'll have you come back and we'll talk about that. This is John Christopher for Real Life, and it's been a delight having Catherine Sly on from the East Hampton Aviation Association. We'll be right back with our next guest, Deering Harbor Real Estate Company, Angelo Picozzi. Welcome back to Real Life, and this is your host, John Christopher. And today I have with me Angelo Picozzi, who is of Deering Harbor Real Estate. Your family has played an integral part into the history of Shelter Island. Can you give us a little background of the family?
Well, yes. My mom's side of the family goes back to the 1850s.
1850s,
yep. She was a Johnston, and she also goes back to the Revolutionary War. Colonel Phineas Fanning was in the Revolutionary War.
Okay.
And it's a relative of my mom. And on my dad's side, he arrived in the 1920s and started the heating and gasoline business on Shelter Island. So we've been there a while. We have some deep, deep roots.
Yeah, obviously. That's phenomenal. Now, you've been on Deering Harbor. Your company has been over there at Deering Harbor how long now?
The real estate only 15 years.
Really? I thought it was longer than that.
Yeah, it's one of our new upstarts.
You're right. You know? Now, let me ask you, speaking of real estate, in the Hamptons here, we've seen 6 quarters of sluggish sales, but have you seen the same in Shelter Island?
It depends on which broker you speak with. Now, if you speak to me, our sales have been great. Matter of fact, 2018, I had one of my best years ever. But you speak to some other brokers and they say, gee, we were off so many percentage. And 2019 is starting out stellar. We're in the 6th month here of the year and it's looking great. And it looks like it's just going to blast right through to the end of the year.
So you're saying that the new tax law regarding salt hasn't had any impact on your market?
It's probably impacted more the higher end houses, maybe the 3 to 7 million range, but 2 and under is flying off the shelf.
Wow, that is amazing. Now, I always thought the demographics for Shelter Island was much smaller than it is for here on the South Fork, partly because of the ferry, but then other people say, well, the ferry is such a great aspect of Shelter Island that if they put a bridge across, it would never happen, first of all.
Yeah, they tried, 4 times over the last 100 years.
They did.
To put a bridge across, yeah, and every time it was voted down, most of the time in the State Senate of Albany. Obviously, thank God it's going to be so expensive to build one.
Now.
So,
and yeah, probably
even
was
back then,
then
yeah relatively
expensive.
Speaking, it was expensive all the time, and that's why it was voted down. And, the ferry services are great over there. They whisk you back and forth in 5 minutes. So.
Well, I lived on Shelter Island for a period of time, and one of the great things coming out from the city was the getting on the ferry, because all of a sudden you just get outside of your car, and then all of a sudden you get the breeze blowing, and you really calm down.
It gives you a little check on, hey, this is what it's all about.
Exactly. So I've had heard different thoughts as to why the market is not brisk, based upon economic data that's saying otherwise. Do you have any thoughts, considering you've been through various cycles, why the market is? You said it was stellar.
Yeah.
But I'm hearing from other agents.
It's just higher price points. We're seeing it being sluggish, like I said, the 3 to 7 million range. And when you speak to these other brokers, is it more high-end houses that they have in inventory and that's why
it's,
they're saying
it's across
it
the board.
Really?
It's kind of across the board. So
let's take, for instance, a house in the median price house on Shelter Island is like $775,000 right now.
Those is houses, it a decent house?
A beautiful house. You can move in, usually 3 bedrooms, 2 baths, maybe 1,600 to 1,800 square feet, half acre of land. As soon as a house like that hits the market, it usually sells. Yeah, it sells pretty quickly. But if you have a waterfront right now that's in the $7 million range, that's sitting around a while. So, right. If you poll some of these brokers, some of them are more higher-end oriented, and they don't have the diversity of their inventory, lower to middle.
Right.
Then they're stuck. They're having a rough time.
Exactly. Yeah. That's interesting. And one of the things that's fascinating that helps Shelter Island out, because when I was living there, winter time was like dead time.
Yeah.
The only activity or entertainment you had was going to the post office and saying, hello, hey, Tom, how are you?
It's only dead if you don't know the neighbor.
Right. Exactly.
Everyone's always having a nice house party in the winter.
Right.
The winters are actually fun.
But you still have restaurants that are open.
Yeah, the restaurants are open. And a lot of people do have house parties throughout the winter. And if you get a little bit of snow or ice, you go sleigh riding. It's very magical over there.
It is true. Do you think it's a good time to buy?
Definitely. Yeah, with the interest rates so low now. And we have a good sampling of different price points of inventory. So it's a good time for people to either put their house on the market or to start looking to buy a house as well.
Speaking of putting your house on the market, what kind of advice do you give sellers?
Oh, well, first of all, price it correctly. That's the, you know, you can put it very high, but it just goes stale very quickly. So price it correctly and make the house look all spiffied up, you know. If there's paint chipping around the doorway, clean it up, fix the driveway. Make sure you declutter. That's another big thing. You
right.
know, nobody
exactly.
wants to see 700 pictures of your Grandma Sue on the wall. Take them down. Put just one up of Grandma Sue.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, that's
so
true.
Clean it up.
Well, you know, I always give the advice that first impression is a lasting impression. And people, when they walk up to the front door.
Couldn't be truer. Yeah.
You know, you know, when I have
curb appeal.
Curb appeal. Make it. You know, like, yes, I want to come here. This could be my home.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
It's much harder to sell a property that looks like.
Mow the grass. Mow the grass at least once a month,
right,
you know.
Exactly. What kind of amenities do you think are attracting new buyers now?
Okay. You know, I think we're going to start seeing a shift. And you can tell all your listeners, you heard it. They heard it here.
You heard
it
right here. Angelo Picozzi,
you know,
said this.
I think people are starting to get to the point where they're seeing the quartz or the seeing the different type of countertops over and over again, or the stainless appliances. And now people are going back more to a natural palette, maybe something you'd maybe see 40 or 50 years ago in a kitchen, believe it or not. So people are starting to say, I'm over the quartz, I'm over the granite, I'm over the stainless steel. They still like the open floor plan into the
right.
living room with the kitchen, but some of the materials being used, I see a switch now. And you might start seeing butcher block countertops coming back in fashion again. You might even start seeing enameled cupboards.
How about formica? You think that's coming back?
It could be. It could.
Orange.
You know what? I don't know about the color orange. Watch out.
Or green.
Watch out.
So, I always like green. That's another one.
And, you know, it's a lot of these young buyers coming out of Brooklyn that are thinking, you know, everything that happened in the 50s and 60s is now cool again. So watch out.
Watch out.
So
what about outside amenities? Do you think outside TVs, fireplaces?
I'll tell you, outdoor fire pits or fireplaces are still big. Swimming pools now are people, as they're getting older, are starting to turn away from them and say they don't want the maintenance of the pool. And,
yeah, they hardly swim in them.
Not only that, but on Shelter Island, we have 52 public landings. How many towns have 52 public access points to water? So
52
of them.
That's
yep.
amazing.
Four main beaches, but 52 public access points to water. So people that come out there and they get the natural ambiance of the island, they say, hey, I like it just the way it is, you know. So landscaping's still big, fire pits are still big.
Good.
And yeah.
So how can someone get in touch with you to get some of your real estate acumen?
Well, John, I thought you'd never ask. Obviously, we're on the web, so they can catch us anywhere in the world. So if someone's listening to your program in Belgium right now,
right, they probably are.
Yeah, they probably are. You know, go to www.deering, that's spelled D-E-R-I-N-G, Harbor, H-A-R-B-O-R, realestatere.com. So deeringharborrealestate.com, and they'll have the access of Shelter Island at their fingertips.
How about if they wanted to call you?
Oh, even better. 631-456-0051. And that's
one
also
more time. What
texting.
Is that again? What is
631-456-0051. And don't forget, John, you can text me on that number too, especially when you're going to take me out for lunch.
You got it. Done, Angelo. This is John Christopher, your host for Real Life Broadcasting here in sumptuous Southampton Village on the only NPR station on Long Island, WPPB 88.3 FM. We'll be right back with our next guest, Inside Out Fitness Concierge Coach, Sydney Brito. Welcome back to Real Life, and this is your host, John Christopher. And today I have with me Inside Out Fitness Concierge Coach, Sydney Brito. Sydney, how are you?
I'm very good, John. Thanks for having me here.
Oh, it's a pleasure to have you, because I think you're very unusual because of your approach to physicality and being healthy and staying fit. But before we talk about some of your approaches to this, let's just find out, how was your journey? How did you get, you know, to this point now where you are? I mean, you must, I know some of your background, so maybe you could give
sure.
us a bit of it.
I'm originally from Rio, Rio de Janeiro, Brazil. And, you know, the Brazilians are quite very, I'd say, too much into fitness. So I grew up like that. And as I was growing up into my teenager years, you know, I was only always thinking, what I'm going to do, you know, in the future, what I'm going to become. And then one day, I unfortunately, I had an accident. I broke my two legs. I was a soccer player just for fun. And I
broke your legs playing soccer?
Nothing related to soccer, no. I was hiking in the beach in a big mountain, and I just fell. I had no shoes on me, and then broke my two legs.
Wow.
So I was 19 years old, and many, many years ago. And after that, they took me to the hospital, and they made a mistake. It was something done to my left leg that wasn't supposed to be done. So it took me a little while to, you know, recover from that. And, you know, when you're only 19 years old and you wanted to play soccer, I couldn't even walk. And I was going to doctors, and the doctor, my main doctor, was saying to me, finally, he told me that not to have any hopes that I was going to walk normally again.
My goodness.
And
yeah.
So that moment, Inside Fitness was born.
Wow.
Because I knew that to overcome that, even though I was very young, I was called the old man at a very young age. I was always thinking of something. You know, I was going to school, and people said, why this 10, 12-year-old is always not kicking a can or doing like the other kids? So I was always thinking of something. And that, in my head, it was a call, a wake-up call. I said, I know what I'm going to be. So then I start finishing my study to become a professional fitness educator, we call in Brazil, college. And during those years, it was very hard, and because I couldn't walk really properly. But I had inside of me this believed that it was possible. There's no such thing as can't. One of my favorite quotes, there's no such thing as I can't do this.
Right.
So if you really try and you know how to do it. So I specialized myself into not only coaching the fitness, physicality, but mentally. You have to be strong and bring all this desire to change your life from inside of you.
That's fascinating. I mean, I don't see any limp or anything, so you've overcome that completely.
I did indeed, yes. I have a little, nobody can see it.
But you know.
But I have, my right ankle is fused. And so I couldn't play soccer anymore because it's a side to side, tennis, basketball. Then I discovered running.
I was just going to say, you got into marathons, right?
I did indeed. I came to New York.
So I don't mean to interrupt, but how do you run if your ankle is fused?
Again, it's my way of overcoming the pain. It's not like pain anymore. It became natural. My right foot is the same as my left. I don't feel any different at all. So a lot of doctors, when they see me, when I go to a sports doctor for some sort of an injury, they said, how can you run with your foot like that? I say, well, it's a mental strength. It comes from inside of my gut. And that's how I coach people. Now, people usually say, I can't do this. I'm too old for this. Oh, my time is past. So my coaching is not just to give you a bunch of exercise to do, which in some stage you'll be okay to do, but I have to bring you out of you that person that you want to be. You need to be strong enough from inside out to become what you want to become.
So what you're saying, basically, it's more mental than physical.
Exactly. Yeah, it starts from the inside. Usually people are, especially now this summer, everybody wants to have a six-pack, the guys, and the women wants to have a nice leg and nice arms. But this is all on the outside. I'm talking about the inside. Are you happy? So if you're not happy, you're just going to the gym because it's a fad. Everybody's going to the gym. Everybody's talking about, you know, social media now. you open your Instagram, everybody's showing their six packs, you know, nice body. So I'm not talking about that. I know a lot of people that do have this amazing physique, but they're not fit at all.
Hmm.
You think they're fit, but they're not. Someone very skinny has a very wrong impression of fitness. Okay, if I'm standing in the gym, I usually say that to my, I used to coach coaches in Ireland, and I said, if I'm standing over here, and and there's another guy, a bigger guy beside me, and you don't know me, you don't know him, and you ask, who is the fitter guy? They're going to point to the skinny guy. That could be so wrong.
Right.
So there's a thing called the skinny fat. So the guy is blessed with a skinny body, small. He is very hard to put something on it, to put the weight on it. So he goes and he drinks a lot. He eats whatever he wants. So his body on the inside,
it's not healthy. It's not healthy.
Yeah.
Now, one of the things you were saying earlier is that also you're a food, a foodie of sorts, but you're very particular on the foods. Like we were saying earlier about doing a test, and you said the question was, what did you have to eat for this morning? You said nothing. So is that a normal course of events?
Yes, it. You know, over the years, I did try. I'm an old timer. You know, I'm.
You look fabulous. I mean, I'm not going to mention your age, but
sure, that's okay though.
But I know you don't.
I usually use my age to inspire people.
Right, because you look 20 years younger than your age. I mean, I'm sure you get.
I'm nearly 60 years old,
right.
And I can't wait to be 60. I can't wait to be 70.
So that is the kind wonderful. Of thing.
People usually get very depressed.
Right, because they're saying my body's going to be failing. Right.
I'm already 40.
Right.
When you're 50, forget it. They already put you on the box. Right. You have no chance. That's it. You're supposed to be gone. But it's my coaching is about that. It doesn't matter how old are you. Last night, I had a fitness class in Sag Harbor in the gym there. I had four new guys, they were 21 years old. None of them could do what I did with
them.
So it's not about the age, it's how you train, how you lived your life. And obviously, you know, they're young, and another few months of training, they will probably be, I would say, about the same level, because it's not about the age.
So it's not about the age. So mm-hmm. you could be 22 and still be out of shape.
Absolutely.
And look great.
Yeah.
Right. So
most of the guys are right. they look amazed. They have this nice six pack, nice arms. They surf all day, but then we're bringing them to the gym for do a
and they can't even
15-20 minute session. That mobility, which is one of my biggest things, mobility, flexibility, agility, power.
That's fabulous.
All with your own body weight.
Well, you know, how can someone get in touch with you? How can we partake of your expertise?
Sure. The best way to contact me is through my phone. My phone number is 929-422-5582.
What is that again?
929-422-5582. Or you can also email me at coachsid2016@gmail.com.
So that's coachsid2016?
Yeah, @gmail.com.
@gmail.com. Mm-hmm. Great. Sydney Brito, it was a delight having you on the program.
This is John Christopher for Real Life on Peconic Public Broadcasting, 88.3, right here in Southampton, New York. By the way, if you're interested in hearing this program again or previous ones, you can go to peconicpublicbroadcasting.org and subscribe to the podcast. Until next time, looking forward to seeing you soon, and have a safe journey.
You have been listening to Real Life, the program that talks to the people, places, and things that are the pulse and heartbeat of real estate on the East End. Your host has been John Christopher, broker associate with Sotheby's International Realty. Your producer and engineer is Kyle Lynch. Theme music by John Christopher. Questions and comments can be emailed to john.christopher@sotheby'shomes.com. Real Life is also brought to you in part by LEAP Compliance, HR's one-stop solution for sexual harassment prevention training and policies. All employers in the New York State are now required to train all employees annually, no matter the size of the company. For more information, discriminationpreventiontraining.com or 646-216-8038.